stars above, know the one I love, sweet Sue, oh just you. And the moon on high knows the reason why, sweet Sue, oh just you.
Good morning and welcome to episode 121 of Taking the Charge with you from Regensburg, Germany. I am David Hein of Hein News. Thanks for coming around again. It's a pleasure every time anybody comes and listens to the podcast. For those who might not have listened to this podcast before, we talk about international basketball. Not much NBA, a little bit NBA here and there, but not a ton of NBA. This week we are going to focus on the just completed second qualifying tournament of the Adidas Next Generation Tournament. We talked to a scout who was at the tournament in Hospitalet. And so we get his opinions on the players there. So that's the interview of the week this week. Just to catch up with the housekeeping as usual, if you want to get a hold of me, I am at Hein News on Twitter, HEINNEWS. There's the Facebook group. Just put in Taking the Charge and we will welcome you into the group. And there's also my email. And that is heinnews@gmx.de. Plenty of ways to get in contact with me and let us know what you think. This week, I figure, first of all, just kind of touch a little bit on EuroLeague. The top 16 started and didn't have a chance to watch too much of it. I ended up watching the Milan-Novgorod game. I don't know really why I did that to myself. Actually, I was writing something on it. So, Milan can look really bad at times. So, I think that's the biggest takeaway. And Novgorod, they're a solid team, man. I mean, to be playing at this level at the top 16, you have to be doing something right. And, they do have a couple of pretty good players. I watched the first half of Alba Berlin beating Barcelona. Didn't watch the second half, but to be honest, it's not a surprise. If it was in Barcelona, it'd be another story. But Alba is a tight team, man. They have some pretty high level players. You look at Hammonds, you look at McLean, you look at Redding. McLean, Redding, and Radosevic all scored 16 points, saw that. And just notice in the first half, after a tough beginning, they really just, they started hitting some big, big, tough shots. And I think just, it's not really a surprise. Guys like Redding and McLean, Alba's going to have a real hard time keeping those guys around next year. Otherwise, I didn't really watch anything else. Just didn't have the time to do it. Got a little bit sick and was doing some of the Adidas Next Generation Tournament stuff. So really concentrated more on that than was able to do on the EuroLeague. NBA... saw the trade. If you didn't see, the Knicks and Cleveland and Oklahoma City made a three-team deal, and I don't mind what New York did. I think that they did actually a pretty decent job of clearing up a little bit of space, getting rid of the knucklehead that is J.R. Smith. It hurts to lose Shumpert, but they've got more cash. Maybe they can bring him back later on. Waiters going to Oklahoma City. I mean, he's a shooter, isn't that what Durant does? So you're taking away something that he can do. So have to see how that'll work. And J.R. Smith. I mean, Shumpert will help the Cavs, but you know, Smith. You know, he basically sort of is almost the same thing. Not quite as talented, let's say, as Waiters, but you know, basically as a shooter as well. But Shumpert will help them, and obviously also get a pick as well. So. Decent move. I think that's about it for the NBA. I don't really want to talk too much about the NBA, and obviously just, you know, obviously with what happened, just, you know, we just really glanced over the EuroLeague. But I want to focus on the ANGT, the former NIJT, the ANGT, the Adidas Next Generation Tournament. Obviously, this was the second tournament. Won by Real Madrid, pretty convincingly and not really surprisingly. They beat Barcelona in the final, 87-55. And to catch up on some of the talent in that tournament, and also from the Rome tournament that happened just after Christmas, got in contact with Davide Bortoluzzi, who's the director of international scouting with NBADraft.net, and he also works with the great site EuroHopes.com. So here is my chat with him, and I'll talk a little bit more about that on the other side of the interview. So enjoy that. Just a note: if you're not interested in the top level talents coming up in Europe, you can save the interview because that's really all we're going to be talking about. But you do get some pretty good insight into some of the elite of the elite in Europe right now on a talent level. This being all younger than 97 generations, so 17, will be 18 and under. So. If you're not interested in that, I think you can pass up the interview. Otherwise, there's some great stuff in there from Davide Bortoluzzi. So enjoy. So this week on the show, we have Davide Bortoluzzi, the director of international scouting with NBADraft.net, who's also a contributor with EuroHopes.com. Davide, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. Be so happy to be here.
I'm gonna say a little bit jealous. Definitely. You just we are talking right after the final of the Adidas Next Generation Tournament final between Real Madrid and Barcelona. You were in Hospitalet to watch the tournament. And that was one of the main reasons why I wanted to have you on, just to kind of get a hands-on view of what actually took place there. But before we do that, why don't you kind of introduce yourself? I'm sure people out there have read your name, have seen you on Twitter. But why don't you give the listeners sort of a rundown on what you and what you do?
Okay, actually, I've been working with NBADraft.net for 3 or 4 years, focusing basically on international prospects. Since we have different tasks, some guys works on NCAA and specific conferences. There is an owner, and since I base in Europe, I work focusing on international prospects. I have a network of people that give me intel. I travel to the tournaments. Travel directly to watch the prospects live, or collecting TV records of the games in order to analyze the prospects and build a draft and the profiles as a scout from all the other countries and professional scouts do. It's made also for a different audience. You can't go too much deeper in the analysis of the prospects, but it's a service that we gave to the public, and we make a general overview of all the main prospects coming from Europe and generally speaking the international ones.
A general question, I think, to to you. I mean, first of all, I guess, how many tournaments do you actually get to, would you say?
You mean per year or over?
Let's say per year or...
Well, up to 5, 6, let's say. Okay. I try to go to all the Adidas, pre-former Nike International, now Adidas. Actually, it's difficult for us to get to Kaunas due to the complex flight connection to get in Lithuania.
Tell me about it.
But
why can't they have that thing in Vilnius, right?
Yeah, it's far away from Vilnius. Kaunas has direct flights only from Rome, but not only day. So it's difficult to get there. You get to hire rent a car, and now in this period of the year, it's freezing and hell, so it's difficult to get there if you're not working in an NBA franchise that provides you everything that you need to go there. But Belgrade, Hospitalet, Rome, and the Final Four Junior Tournament are the must-be place where you have to go. Then there is the part of European Junior Championships, which means under 18, under 20, under 16 sometimes. If you can't go directly there, you have to watch as much as games as possible, which the ones that are forecasted on the websites and the streaming online, collect some information from the people that are there. And it's a matter of also of relations. I mean, if you know coaches, agents, other scouts that are placed in the countries that and can actually see live the prospects throughout the year, you send them an email and ask for how's going on there, which are the progresses, have you got any intel for me? This is how this industry works. It's a matter of relation of intel. You can't be everywhere. So you have to be like an octopus, you know.
Mm-hmm. Another actual, I guess you're representative of this industry in many respects as well, because you're actually have a 9-to-5 job. And that's up to you if you want to say what you do or not. But you know, Sonny Berrios, who was just on a couple weeks ago to talk about the Canadians. There's Christophe Ney who also has a 9-to-5 job outside of basketball, has nothing to do with basketball. You also have a job outside of basketball. And maybe just what it's like for you when you at work, what's your, like, you know, how do you, is work a time to get away from basketball? How do your colleagues see what you do, all of this basketball stuff? How does that all work? I haven't asked any of the other guys yet, so I'll ask you.
Well, sometimes they see you as an alien, you mean. why on the earth you are investing your free time and your money in trips?
These tournaments you do on your vacation time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course, some expenses, sometimes some coverage and so on. But, you know, holidays are supposed to be yours and you manage your free time as you wish. I usually manage my spare time in this way. I mean, going to tournaments and to watch games. So it's cool because often during these tournaments, there are a couple of professional games which prospects are playing. In fact, this time I was able to get to Badalona and watch La Peña against Fuenlabrada. Abalde played an excellent game. There was Moussa Diagne. It was actually useful to go there. Last year, I went to Belgrade. I was able to watch Nurkic playing in Radnici Kragujevac, and I watched the derby again among Crvena Zvezda and Partizan, with several prospects on the court. So it's cool. I mean.
All right. Why don't we get into ANGT Adidas Next Generation Tournament as it's been rebranded. You were in Rome as well. Maybe just give a rundown of what your thoughts are about the Rome tournament. The fact that Lovro wasn't on the all-tournament team, I think, was probably the one surprise. I seemed like the was really impressed with the defense you know, just following it online, was impressed with the defense that Stella Zura played. But do you think that it seemed to me that, that Stella Zura and Malaga were going to be the two best teams there, just because of the amount of talent? Talk about maybe what you saw there. Obviously, there was Dragan Bender there. Mazzolin played really well. Latore won the MVP. And then you also had Leon Kratzer and and Atic from Sarajevo. Talk about talk a little bit about the Città di Roma.
Well, Città di Roma used to be in the past not an elite level, but this year was higher than the previous year overall, with the exclusion of the two Italian teams of. An exclusion of Rome, Milan and Virtus weren't at the level of the others because Bologna has a lot of injured players and they weren't at the full roster. Roma has been evolving a team in Italian hoops, in youth hoops in the last 5 years, and the amount of talent that they currently have on roster is amazing. I mean, they had four players in Italian national teams in this roster, and Nikolic and Radonic and Shikiras are playing in their respective national teams. So we are speaking about of a team that is gonna compete for the first four spots in Madrid, and is competing to win the Italian national title without any doubt. Dragan Bender was a man, an alone man, because Maccabi was a terrible team. Yeah. Without
you said that Bologna and Virtus Armani weren't really teams there. I would say that other than Bender, really Maccabi didn't have much there either, right?
Yeah, nothing special. Terrible team. In the past, 2 years ago, Maccabi had quite a good team, with at least without any top prospect, but some good players. But this team was only Bender. He collected stellar stats. He was really good, but you know, with that supporting cast, it's difficult for everybody to win a game. Even though he showed his user skills, I mean, he's mobile. He can dribble with the skills of a guard. He's really athletic and mobile. He still has to work to his shot mechanics. The main concern with these kind of players is always the fact that you need to place them and you need to learn how to play in the post game, because the stereotype is the Bargnani effect. These 7-footer that are nurtured, growed, and they are growing as a guards, but they are not able to play in the paint. So it's difficult to find a precise role, which is the main and one of the most important thing in NBA. In NBA, you have two options: you can be a super all around player, or you have to be able to do one thing in an excellent way. When you are not defined, it's difficult for the teams to put you in a box, let's say.
Yeah, but okay, Bender's got some time though.
Well, it's amazing. I mean, he definitely.
He only turned 17 in middle of November, so.
Yeah, he's definitely, in my opinion, he could become even better than Saric for certain reasons. He's not as skilled than Dario because he's not able to do the things that he do with the ball. But he's actually more athletic and probably more suitable for certain NBA game. So Mazzolin showed his usual maturity. He plays like a pro. I mean,
I do want to hear the rest of what. But he didn't practice with this team. He practices solely with the professional team. So he didn't practice with this team at all. So.
It's a typical problem that all top prospects face. Yeah. It's the same problem that Hezonja had 2 years ago with his team.
Yeah.
He wasn't the chemistry was terrible. He's the most talented player in the team, but not inserted in the context. Sedevita has another couple of good players, Solomon and Gaspert, but both don't play in the level that I was expecting. So overall, it wasn't the super team that used to be in the past, let's say, with Doncic and other kids.
Do you think if Sedevita make it to the third place game, that with Lovro and with now Musa, that maybe there would be a chance that they and with Sedevita, you know, maybe if they have more success at the Euro Cup, that maybe that they could maybe get a wild card for Madrid.
I don't know. I'm not sure that they are the level. I think that...
Well, they finished fifth, so I mean, there's not really any chance that they're going to take
them. I don't see so. And probably I heard that in Madrid they could call Argentina under-18 national team.
Okay.
Due to commercial reasons, because they are Adidas branded.
Okay.
And there is a strong Argentinian presence in Spain. So this could one chance.
Okay. That would be interesting. There's a couple of nice... talents at that age group that would be cool to see. So
yeah, definitely. I watched some of them in under 17 World Cup, and some of them, Delfino, for example.
Sure. What did you think about Bamberg? Just me being in Germany with Kratzer and
Kratzer is a beast. I mean, he's already a grown up man with an amazing body. He's strong like a bull. He's a superb rebounder. He could become a solid player for German championship. Why not? Maybe he could become a lumberjack for EuroLeague teams. He's not extremely skilled. I mean, he's not the player that impresses you with his moves. But he knows how to play. He's solid. He's concrete. I think he's going to be a perfect backup or center in a EuroLeague team, or actually a starting big man in a solid Bundesliga team. He's a good player. Sanders, unfortunately, tore his ACL, probably, in the third, fourth place final. They were actually worried about the injury, but the first hypothesis was the ACL. I haven't heard any news from that side, but...
I'm looking up right now, see if I see anything.
Bamberg is a solid team, and they are one of the best in Germany in developing young prospects. But I think the best prospect in Germany is by Bayern Munich, is Richard Freudenberg.
Freudenberg, yep. Yeah, Jarlo's pretty good too, but Freudenberg is definitely there. What did you think of Gegic and Atic with the
Gegic, I like both of them. Gegic could become a really solid point guard. He's really big. He's grown up another 4 or 5 centimeters with respect of last year. He's really crafty. He's more athletic than expected. He's really good in the defense. He puts a solid pressure on the defensive side. I think he's going to be a good player in the future. He's playing in the Standard Bledig with Bosnia national team, which is a solid team. They show what they can do in the last under 16 championships. Atic is a superb scorer. He can dunk, he can shot, even if he's not that much consistent. Basically, he's the same player of last year. Mm. But I don't see his biggest upside. I don't know still which could be his final dimension, let's say. A kind of player like him could be Aydin Vrabac, but Vrabac probably has more talent. The player playing 3 years currently. He's 94. I don't know if you heard about him, I suppose.
What was the name again? Rabic?
Aydin Vrabac. Rabac.
Rabac. No. Don't know that one.
It's really good.
Okay.
Just to say, Lazzurra, okay, we do know all the players. Probably the most talented and the one that has the brightest perspective is Shikiras. Savoldelli is an honest point guard. Bucarelli is really good, actually. He could become a solid Italian point guard for the Italian First League. Andrea Latorre is definitely a finished product.
Latorre.
Yeah.
I talked to him at the under 19, at the under 17s,
mm-hmm.
and he was saying that he wants to try to become a point guard. Is that possible? You saw him for 3 or 4 games there. Do you see that as something that's coming along, or no?
He's a smart guy. He's really a smart guy. He wants to become a pro. He definitely will be a solid professional player for Italian First Division. You know, the difficult thing for him is that ever since he was a kid, everyone was expecting from him 25 points per game, amazing scoring. But he's not that kind of player. He's a player that, in whichever category you put him, it gives you 15 points, 10 rebounds, and 5 assists. He is definitely one of the most solid players I've ever seen playing. He's like this since he was 14. I mean, he has an amazing body. He's strong, bulked. He can defend the point guards and also small forwards. But he's not the brightest talent, I mean, from the creativity standpoint and so on, that you can expect. He's a finished product, an amazing player, a great kid, but that is difficult to see as an NBA prospect, for
where
example.
Where the development is still to come.
I think so.
Yeah.
So I think that is the same thought that also in his team had. They know that they has an excellent player, but they know that, or they also know that the upside is that one limited.
It's gonna be fun to watch him with Musidori,
yeah,
in Greece next summer at the U19s.
I think so. They
have a good team.
Yeah. Our 97-98 generation is actually quite good.
Yeah. Malika. I mean, you look at them and you figure that they were going to be...
It's a solid team with a lot of African players.
Yeah.
Belemne, it was amazing 2 years ago when you didn't know which was his age, but basically he's the same player. It's the same story of all the most of the African guys that are coming in Spain. They are phenoms when they are 14, 15, and then the development starts. There are some concerns about the actual age of these kids. And I don't see him playing at higher level in the next 5 years. I mean, probably the best player that they had is Vini Okwo, which seems to be actually...
Yeah, I was going to ask you about him.
Ah, okay. He has some potential. I mean, he has some good hands. Last year in Hospitalet was actually the most interesting player of his team, also for NBA scouts. Among the list of the players that are playing in Malaga, he is the best one from the potential standpoint.
Okay. Let's move to Hospitalet then.
Yeah.
I don't think it's a surprise at all. That Real Madrid won and that Real Madrid won pretty handily.
Yeah, it was.
I mean, you just look at. I mean, I had the thanks to. I really want to give them praise because that was really cool. Trying to find it. What is it? What was it called? Basket Centra, something like that.
Basket Cantera
TV. Thank you very much for live streaming those games. That was very cool. Just looking at them, they were bigger, faster, stronger, more athletic than Barcelona. So, across the board, you know,
and
probably more talented.
Yeah, at least from the skill set standpoint, we can speak about it. It's a matter of philosophy on which you decide to build and develop players. I think that Barcelona as a philosophy which follows the philosophy of the head coach of the first team, which means that the players are executor. They are perfect machines that do one job, finishing the finishers. The creativity is limited. So players like Eric Villa, Maxime Esteban, are perfect finishers. Esteban is also really able to create his own shot, but especially Villa, which is an amazing body, made of basketball, long arms, athletic, but he's not able to create his own shot. He receives the ball, he shots and scores. And there are several players of these in this team. They are excellent athletes, perfect soldiers in a platoon that follows a certain record, let's say. But I don't see a solid work on fundamentals or on the, let's say, basketball feeling, feel for the game, be able to recognize a situation. Actually, Madrid, it was different. They hired Paco Redondo last year. He won EuroLeague with Badalona junior team, and I think he's an amazing coach. Oh, and
that's the coach for Barcelona.
Badalona.
Ah, okay.
He was the coach of Badalona in 2012.
But he's the Barcelona coach now.
No, Real.
A Real coach. Okay.
And the job is the results are quite visible. They lost last year in the final game against Red Star.
Yes.
And this year they could win. You know, I mean, I don't see. I have to see which is the team that is going to come from Kaunas than the one from Belgrade, but.
Yeah, I don't, man. I mean, you look at that Real Madrid group, and man, there's a lot there.
Yeah.
Do you if you look at the roster, I'm just gonna pull up the roster real quick here. If you look at the roster, right, and they go, you know, they have Proleta, they have Nadia, they have Dos Anjos, Doncic, and Kate, who are all non-Spaniards. The team last year, I think, had three Africans and Kate. Mm-hmm. And Kate. It's one idea, one way to. Or one concept to say, okay, we want to win these tournaments and we want to develop players. But do you not think that this is sort of detrimental to the Spanish players, that you're bringing in these players from outside? I mean, you could say the same thing about Barcelona, and even say the same thing about Rome. But do you think that it is kind of detrimental for the Spanish players? I mean, there was Yusta and Barrera. I mean, and really there wasn't too much other Spanish leadership.
Rico is an amazing point guard.
Yeah,
really.
I mean, you know, okay, so, but, you know, is that, do you think that's sort of detrimental to the development of Spanish basketball in general?
Well, it depends. It depends on the philosophy that is behind the choice to picking kids from outside Spain or Italy or the country that you were working in. In my opinion, in Spain, basically all the top teams make recruitment on international basis because of the influence of YouFirst, which is the best agency. They have scouts everywhere, so they are able to know which is the best Romanian player up in the middle of nowhere and bringing him to the one top team. So basically all the teams has this philosophy. The difference is, which is your purpose? Develop players or win the titles? If your goal is to develop players and you have a solid group of Spain kids, like in Real has Barreiro, has Yusta, has
Rico,
and De La Rua, and he was a little bit, and Balespin.
You saw him more than I did, so, but.
Training with other kids coming from other countries which are skilled athletic helps you to elevate the level that you are aiming to and you need to face in order to become a better player. This is the philosophy that also Rome uses. They want to build players, they want to create players, they want to build an academy to develop players. If the goal is to win titles, you take the most ready prospect that you find, the one with the biggest body, more muscles, you put on the court and try to win. Which was actually the philosophy that also Real had in the previous years. Because, for example, Kasibabu and Valignan were grown-up men, you know. Actually, I have some doubts that they were the really age. Kasibabu is playing fourth or fifth Spanish division now. Iñang seems to have signed a contract with Estudiantes, but he was playing nowhere. So now they are starting to recruit the kids from Balkan countries, from Brazil, and so on. And seems actually that this is working.
Let's stick to Madrid, and I'll come back to something you said, and later. Let's stick there. The guy everybody is talking about is Luka Doncic now. 99. You guys, I think you guys had him number one, right, for the 99 class.
Is there any other choice? Okay, Zan Musa could be the other.
Yeah, I mean, so did he show basically what you expected, or do you think that, I don't remember if it was you or if it was somebody else on Twitter said, you know, the most amazing concept is the fact that he just seems like he's an adult player already, that there's just the calm and the maturedness of him. How did he perform compared to what you had imagined or had seen last time and were expecting coming into this tournament?
Well,
this is Luka Doncic for those who kind of lost track there for a sec.
Well, actually, he performed in the exact way he was expecting for him. It's correct what the guy that wrote that stuff said. He plays like an old man. He knows all the tricks, all the moves, all the fakes that are necessary in order to draw the contacts, create the space for the shot. He has a court vision that is tremendously effective and amazing. So everything that was expecting and I've been told from the people that I watched him previously were real. He is the most mature player I ever seen at 15 years old. So I think there isn't any other player like him of his age.
Do you think maybe his birthday is actually February 29th and they just keep, you know, skipping those years and so he's actually younger than he is? the birthday's listed as February 28th. That's where that came from.
So. I don't know, but actually he wasn't looking like 15 years. Also the body, everything was of a pro player.
Felipe Dos Anjos, in April, end of April, he'll turn 17, Brazilian. You know, we've talked a little about the Africans coming to Spanish teams. This is a Brazilian, and 218, so quite a big guy. What'd you think about him? The two games that I was able to see, it looked like there, you know, was definitely some promise. I mean, he's probably not he's not physically developed as much as Samba is. But then again, Samba, you know, is even listed as a year older, and who knows exactly what his age is.
Yeah.
What do you think about Dos Anjos, you know, especially with Brazil looking at 2016? I mean, obviously it might be still too early for him, but in general, for the Olympics, but in general, what do you think about Dos Anjos?
He's the most intriguing prospect of the tournament. I heard last year he wasn't able to run the floor. This year, as you should watch on streaming live, he is definitely a player that can play at this level, and he makes a solid contribution. He is really mobile for this size. He is more balanced, coordinated. He has tremendously huge hands. He is a big body, solid and strong legs, which is a big butt. So the balance of the body is quite good, because sometimes people, guys of that height, have problem of posture, balance, because maybe they had too small feet, or the muscles of the legs are too weak, and they have problem as their back. He's really solid. The body looks like the one of Walter Tavares, to make a comparison. But honestly, I think if he moves like that, he actually starting to show some post moves, which is quite interesting, because if he will be able to exploit that body, it will be tough to stop him at this level of competition. So he's an ongoing prospect, a work in progress, but everybody watches at him, and I think that every scout in the gym take a note about his name.
A guy that people know is Santiago Yusta. We also saw him at the U17 Worlds, so I didn't really, need to see much more from him. It was nice to see him again, just to see how he's come along. But the guy, probably one of the guys most I was interested in seeing on this Real Madrid team was with Jonathan Barrera, who had the injury last year, wasn't able to make it to the finals in at the NIJT finals in Milan, and also missed the U17 World Championship in Qatar. No.
Dubai.
So it was really nice to see him. What do you think about it? What do you think about him? And where do you think he's at after the injury and everything?
Well, he recovered quite well from the injury, so he's not completed from the recovery. At least for what is my perception, is still, it's not well. You torn your ACL. You are a little bit scary, but he recovered from the physical standpoint perfectly. I think he is the most skilled player of his team and the most complete from the technical standpoint, because he can do everything. He can shot, he can touch the basket, he can create his own shot. He is smart, he can pass the ball. Probably he's not as athletic as you can expect from a top prospect. Mm-hmm. For this reason, I can't see as an NBA prospect. But with his skill set, he could become definitely a solid player for Spanish national senior teams in the future, for Real Madrid and for ACB.
All right, you mentioned it before, sort of playing against better competition will make you better. How happy were you that Hospitalet finally got their first victory in one of these tournaments? They came close against Galatasaray, losing by 4 and lost by just 1 point to Sevilla. Got the job done, picked up victory number 1 against Asvel Lyon. How happy were you to see that? And do you think that it was kind of just sort of a question of time before that this club, I mean, every year they're facing Barcelona and or Real Madrid and Sevilla and all these great teams. Talk about Hospitalet, because you're not gonna we don't talk about them very much, so let's give them a props for getting that win.
No, they deserve attention, because it's a team that you have to know that
all Spanish team too.
Yeah, they actually 2 weeks before the tournament they bet Badalona in junior league, Spanish junior league.
Okay.
So it's a solid team. Probably it was the best Hospitalet team of the last editions. They really solid. They were really solid. The best player was Mark Roof, who was a son of a former player, if not mistaken.
Yep.
And he's a good prospect. I mean, he's a little undersized as a center, but he's really skilled and strong. It's a solid. It's a good society. The tournament for them is the showcase of a year. It is the event in which they collect money for the season. They show the facilities, the society. So it's nice to be a guest of especially Francisco Caballero, who is the responsible of the tournament. I really thank him every year for the kind of help and everything in managing the stuff. So I'm really happy they were able to succeed. They fell short against Galatasaray and Seville. They deserved the victory in both games because I watched them. And I'm happy they won against Villeurbanne, and they went seventh in the tournament.
Exactly. Asvel, obviously, this is the Tony Parker team. You know, we know Hergott, and we know Noah from the U17. You know, I had Noah being, you know, really one of the better players, you know, kind of coming into this tournament. I was really impressed with him at the U17s, especially sort of being totally accepting the second fiddle to Stefan Gumbold at the U17s. Unfortunately, I didn't have a chance to see any of the action with him, but what'd you think of him and how, I know he had, I know it seemed from the play-by-play stats, whatever, that he seemed to have some big turnovers and some bad situations. But in general, what do you think about him as a leader of a team, whereas he's not sort of the second guy, but where he's the leader?
He has a really strong personality. He was basically the leader of the team. He drives the attack. He passes the ball from the painted area, building games, because there is a rating in the stats that is the usage. So you can say that I don't see any advanced stats of the tournament, but I can expect that basically at least the 50% of the attacks of the team passes through his hands. So he's really a point forward of the team. He's really technically really skilled. He can use the pivot foot. He has excellent post moves, the hook shot. He's a little bit undersized to me for to play at the elite level. And I think he should work on the muscles of the lower body, on the legs, because he's really bulked in the upper body, but the legs are really thin. And this led to back problems during the season. He was sidelined for most of the season. He actually, the first game in Hospitalet was the first game of the season for him.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, he has some ankles injury and back injuries. So it was recovering from a long time being sidelined. But he actually performed good. He's a really talented kid, the leader of the team, and I think he could become a solid pro-A prospect, at least.
Anybody else on that team? Interested? At all?
Honestly, nothing special. All the best French players are playing in Incept, with the exception of him.
Let's move to another pretty bad team. I'm writing the players to watch for EuroLeague, and really kind of had to ask around for someone from Galatasaray. Kensu was what it would seems like probably the best player on the team. Maybe Os Conley was there as well. Talk about what you thought about them.
It's not the standard Turkish team. Turkish players usually seems to be tall, long, and this team were really short.
Okay.
The best player was Kansu, yes. He's a solid guard with a solid body, a good strike, but honestly, nothing special. There weren't any prospects worthy to be listed in any top.
Are you surprised, though, that, I mean, Galatasaray, that they're not able to, or that haven't been able to get any talents into that system? Or is it just this age group?
Well, sometimes they had some good players, but I don't see the strategy of the club. I mean, it seems that you know they are also in a difficult economic situation. It seems that they invested all the money in the first team and they went short. Traditionally in Turkey, only Efes and Fenerbahce has this heralded and solid tradition in the development players. So I don't see any strange thing in such situation.
Yeah. Move on to Sevilla. Obviously, they won the Rome tournament last year. Lost a couple of their main players, Nikolic and Salic.
Mm-hmm.
No, Nikolic was with Juventud. But
yeah.
Salic.
Salas basically was the best player.
Exactly.
And the point guard Gallardo was.
Gallardo, yeah. I knew there was someone else, but I couldn't remember what it was. Mainly it was Hidalgo.
Mm-hmm. Basically, Hidalgo is the best player of the team from the technical standpoint. But the problem is a leader. He's an amazing passer. But he's too short and thin and skinny. So it's difficult to see him as a prospect, unfortunately for him, because he's really talented.
Yeah. What did you think of Leo Sismic played for the Croatian U16s? And obviously with all them amazing Croatian talents, what did you think of him?
I think he's really intriguing, but still a long way to go. His body in development. He has baby face. He's really skinny. He has a solid shot. There wasn't an eye blinking player, but I think he's a kind of one of the kind of player that needs a couple of years to wait and see, because at the moment it's difficult to define what is gonna be for him. He has the potential. I mean,
anybody else on that team?
Malik Eichler is not bad. He's 6'11", but yeah. He's basically a finisher. He's not, creating the shot for himself. He is an excellent pick-and-roll offensive player. He's really mobile, but he lacks strength. And he's going to need time to develop. But he's an interesting player. He's 6'11", so...
You can't teach 6'11".
Yeah.
As they say, Juventud.
Xabi Lopez.
Yeah. Before you do that, I wanna get your opinion about Nenad Dimitrovic. Thoughts about him, the Macedonian.
Hmm. Well, I haven't anything special, honestly, to say about him. It wasn't. A player that intrigued me that much, honestly speaking.
You mentioned Lopez. Lopez had a really he was somewhat disappointing at the under 17 Worlds.
It's one of the most frustrating players to me, because because he's tremendously talented. Yeah. He is amazing from the physical and technical standpoint. But he's not a leader. Sometimes he waits for a long time of the game, waiting for what happens, watching the other teammates play, and he seems absent from the game. He waits to game flows to him instead of dominating him, and he has the skills to do so. He scored 19 points per game, so he actually showed all these skills, that he is 6'7", you know. He can shot, he can dribble, he can attack the basket. But sometimes he waits to see what happens, and the game flows through his hands.
Anybody else on that team?
And there is a Dutch guy that is Priester. Quite in.
Terrence Priester.
Yeah, but the best is Harms.
Harms, okay. Uh-huh. Yeah.
In my opinion, he's still an ongoing process in 97, 6'9", really mobile, he can put the ball on the floor, but still far away to be a solid player. Quite interesting to follow.
MVP of the tournament was Blaž Masicek. First of all, do you think that he was deserved to be the MVP, or do you say it should have been Doncic?
Well, Blaž showed more things from a certain standpoint. He was a leader of the team. Doncic is still not, and it was included in a better team. It's difficult to choose one among the other. I like Bencic a lot. I think he deserved the spot because his team were worse than the one in which Doncic was playing. Probably this is the thing that led the choice. And the second is that probably Doncic is still 99, so he's going to win the MVP in the next 2 years.
That's what I figured, that he's got time to win at least one more. What'd you think of Mastrzak? You know,
he's amazing. I think he's grown up a couple of inches still.
Okay.
Already this year from last year, he's able to create his own shot in every kind of situation, from the dribble, using screens and cuts of the ball game. He's able to attack the basket. I think the biggest limit currently is he suffers the physical level. Sometimes when pressed from bigger opponents and when he attacks the basket with strong opponents, he tends to be bounced back, which is a thing that he needs to work on, basically on the weight room. I mean, you have to take care on these kids because the physical development shouldn't limit the athleticism and the quickness that is what part of his strengths. So, but I think he's one of the top prospects in 97 generation. I mean,
anybody else on that team?
Vlatko Čančar. He was playing Porto Rossi in the last 2 years ago, and then he was taken to Ljubljana. He's really an interesting player. He has long legs. He's really quick as a gazelle. He jumps and shoots. He really developed from one year ago, and I think he could become a EuroLeague player in the following years because he has a body made for basketball, and he's quite skilled as well.
I can't remember. Did we talk about Barcelona or not? I don't think we did.
Well, a little bit, but you know, the list is quite long. In my opinion, four players deserve attention. Altumane Dayen is the same stuff. I don't know if he's really 98. He's tremendously big and strong, but that's it. The two wings are Esteban and Mazeira. Which are quite skilled, but basically are the same player. They can shoot, they can receive the ball, and that's it. Esteban Vila. Esteban is a shooting guard. He can create the shot. He's athletic. I'd rather pick him instead of Vila and Mazeira. Then there is Nedim Dedovic, which is a perfect glue guy in a team. He's a blue-collar guy because he do a lot of things well, but nothing in an excellent way. He's a perfect soldier. I see him playing as a pro, as a professional player in solid teams, but he's not the talent that impresses you and make you say, wow, it's a phenom. It's not going to happen, but it's a good player. And then we can go to Peno, which is... I'm not saying that he's not a good player or he's not talented. What I can say is that... is not able to play in an organized context sometimes. He's fancy, he can make it.
I think that's where he's still too fancy, he's still young, and he hasn't gotten the flair, let's say, kicked out of him yet, you know? Mm-hmm. He makes the mistakes, and I admit it, you know what I mean? He makes the mistakes that the coach, you know, shakes his head and says, God, what are you doing? But you know, he's a big game player. You saw in the final, even in the final against Madrid, I mean, he was really the only guy that was there that was fighting against Real Madrid, just like the USA game, you know, early on in the final, the semifinals of the U17 World Championship. You know, early on, you know, everybody else seemed to be shaken and, you know, not knowing what to do, where he was really the only guy who was there to you know, to really stand against him. And I think that I can totally see why people you know, don't see him as a top level talent, but I think everything is there to be a great playmaker, but I think he's just got to get out, just get the, I don't know, this necessity to have highlight reel stuff needs to get that out of him.
Yeah, it's the thing that it's limiting him. Probably this is the South American part of his character, which is overcoming sometimes the Serbian one, which is the good one, the one that makes him the last to give up, as you said. It's a matter of balance. He needs to play in another context. I mean, he needs to change environment. Probably if it would have been, if he would have stayed in Serbia, we were speaking about a different player, honestly speaking.
Yeah, I think that's true. I think, I would agree with that. I think that if he stayed back in Serbia with the, you know, hard-nosed and...
You can't do stuff like that if you are playing Svena Zvezda or Partizan, you know?
No, you wouldn't be playing. You'd be moving on somewhere else.
They are punching in the face. Your teammates are killing you. So
yeah.
We'll see.
Hey, I mean, you know, he's got to be doing something right. Otherwise, Pascal wouldn't have given him a time. You know, he got minutes in the Liga Endesa, so...
Well, it's difficult to see. Even Ezzoni is struggling to find spots. So sometimes he is in the roster, but I don't see him playing anytime soon.
Well, no, now he's. I mean, he's far. I mean, Hawkinson's not even playing. You know.
Yeah, and he's more ready than he.
Yeah, so. Definitely more ready. He played a Eurobasket, so.
Yeah.
So, I you know, Hawkinson should have left. Hawkinson should have gone to. You know, Manresa, or you know, some low like
this
mid,
is the best
mid-level.
This is the biggest problem with Barca. They had a lot of talents, and they are sidelining him in a terrible level of the second team, and some of them are losing time.
Yeah, well, even you said you could even have said that about Abrines, you know.
Yeah.
So, are you going to make it up to Kaunas or not?
No, this year not. Belgrade, but not Kaunas.
Yeah, okay. We'll definitely see you in Belgrade. Is there anybody you're really looking forward to sort of seeing or reading or talking about up in Kaunas? The teams being Žalgiris, VF Riga.
It's gonna be a good talent, a good tournament. Fenerbahce. It's always a solid team. Insep, of course, has all the best French players. There is going to be Lubaki, Gombold, and Bocoloy, all the other top players of French 97-98 generation. Žalgiris and Lietuvos are quite good, but not excellent. Bayern Munich, there's going to be Richard Freudenberg.
Yep. Freudenberg's there. Jarlo's there.
Yeah.
So. Okay. I guess that's it. Why don't you tell everybody, you know, pimp your stuff. Tell people where they can read you. Tell people where they can follow you on, you know, Twitter, Facebook. Online, everything. Just tell people where they can find you.
Well, I write. I have my international blog, and I write write-ups for the tournaments that I had on NBADraft.net, and I write some articles and profiles as well for EuroHoops. And sometimes I wrote on Twitter at the address at the ref 140386.
What was that last one?
86.
No, but what was the whole thing? I didn't hear.
At the ref 140386.
Okay. Davide Bortolut. Sorry, man. Messed up on the second time. Thank you very much. Appreciate you coming on the show.
For me, too. Thanks a lot.
And we'll talk latest in Belgrade.
Me, will you shake hands this time, okay?
Exactly. All right. Take care.
Bye-bye.
So, totally... first of all, total appreciation, like I said, but total appreciation goes out to Basket Cantera, who were showing that live streaming that stuff. Fantastic! It was so great to be able to follow some of the games on live online live, and not just have box scores and some random highlights here or there. But to actually go in and get some highlights, get some actual live streams. So great. Thank you very much. Muchas gracias to Basket Cantera TV. Yeah, so great stuff from Davide Bortoluzzi. Barcelona, Real Madrid, you know, was just clearly, you know, bigger, stronger, more athletic, and, you know, like we said, I mean, really more talented. You know, there's just loads of stars on that team, and you know, depending on what Red Star will have, I can imagine that Red Star is going to be pretty good. But depending on what they have, I mean, they're going to be tough to beat. But of the home crowd too, and at the Final Four. But I mean, Doncic was just fantastic. I cannot wait to see him live. That will be a pure joy. You know, seeing guys like Justa again. I was really, really impressed with Barrera. I was really happy that he was able to play. I was able to get to see him. Everybody who listens to the show pretty much knows that I'm a total Stephen Peno homer from Barcelona. Kind of liked Mazzera. You know, Jadovic is a solid guy. You know, lots of good talent in this tournament. I am surprised that Galatasaray weren't able to have some higher level guys. But Davide said, you know, they're having financial troubles. Maybe they're not able to bring some of the higher level guys. Huge congratulations also to Hospitalet to get that victory. That was long awaited. They were in the tournament for the first time in 2007, and 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. That's what, 8 years where they've been doing it, and finally got it. Ended up beating Asvel Lyon. Tough loss for Asvel, finishing last behind Hospitalet. But next tournament is the 16th, 15, 16, 17, somewhere around there, of January in Kaunas. Seeing if I can get my schedule correct, but that should be around when it is. And then the final tournament isn't until the end of end of February. They take a big long break for the Belgrade tournament, which I'll be at. I will not be making it up to Kaunas. It's just if it was a little bit easier to get up there, I think I would maybe try to do it. But it's just a little too difficult. So, I guess other than that, we'll be writing some more of my thoughts. I mean, we kind of got more of Davide's thoughts. But I'll be writing some of my thoughts about both Rome and Hospitalet tournaments for FIBA, my FIBA column on Thursday. So if you want to, feel free to go check that out. I'll be going to the German Pico BBL All-Star Game on the weekend, so we'll definitely probably have some chats with some Germans next week, next week's show. So probably try to get an update try to give you an update on the BBL and see where they're going. So until then, the last duty that I have to you is to let you know what you're going to be listening to, and that is Sweet Sue by the band the Underscore Orchestra. The song is from 2012, was released, and it is available for free, as all the music on Taking the Charge on freemusicarchive.org, and enjoy it. Enjoy the rest of the week, and we will talk to you next week. You
And the moon on high knows the reason why. Sweet Sue, but just you. No one else, it seems, ever shares my dreams. Without you, dear, I don't know what I'd do. In this heart of mine, you live all the time. Sweet Sue, just you.
Hey, this is Maxi Kleber from this Oliver Baskets, and you listening to Taking Charge podcast.